Shocker, how are you?
I'm doing well, boys.
We just played Bobby Mack. I wasn't sure if you'd heard it, so that's why I had you on hold. He makes a lot of sense in his points. And, you know, I wrote an article earlier today where I felt that Edmonton, you know, compared to 2 weeks ago, was in a vastly different situation, whereas before I thought it was a pipe dream at best. But now with the guys at charge and past relationships in hockey are a big factor in deciding where you go sometimes.
Yeah, no, for sure they are. And, you know, Babcock has experience with Chiarelli. You know, Chiarelli was part of that Olympic team as well. Yeah, I mean, everything Bobby said makes total sense. Like, guys, when we talked about Connor McDavid being a game changer, it isn't just that he's going to be a number one center and an elite center in the NHL on the ice. I mean, he's a game changer in a bunch of different ways. Like, don't think for one second that somebody like Chiarelli coming to town, that it had nothing to do with Connor McDavid. And I'm not saying it's the only reason, but of course it has something to do with it. Mike Babcock potentially coming to town, Todd McLellan potentially coming to town, whoever ends up being. Like, getting this player in the draft lottery is a game changer on a bunch of different fronts. And that's still in other ways that are yet to reveal themselves. What do you think it'll be like for trying to find free agents to come to Edmonton now? You've got Chiarelli, the guy that's leading things. You've got potentially, let's say they end up landing Mike Babcock. Now you got Chiarelli, Mike Babcock, the promise of Connor McDavid. I mean, if you're unrestricted free agent and winning is important to you, you look at the Oilers organization and think, okay, that's definitely heading in the right direction. So it's a game changer on a bunch of different levels. It's a game changer financially for the organization heading into this new building. I mean, my goodness, the interest that there's going to be from the fan base, you know, I hate to say it, but I mean, as they're setting ticket prices and figuring out what to charge people to come watch hockey in the new building, it's a game changer for them financially. So just all across the board, this has been a game changer for them, and it's not one they earned. It's fallen into their laps, but so be it.
Yeah, I mean, bang on. I mean, that's the first domino, right? I mean, you just think back to what you're saying a few weeks ago. Okay, MacT is going to come out. We're getting better. Blah. You know, everybody, the eyes are rolling before his lips start moving. You're expecting it's going to be another year of that. McDavid comes along. Maybe that does lead to Chiarelli. You're right. It had to have an impact. Now, are you choosing between, or do you have a shot at McLellan or Babcock? Yeah, if he decides to leave Detroit. That's a joke that Edmonton would have any chance of getting either one of those guys a year ago, because you were getting Dallas Eakin. So on every level, you're right. And I think this is a fan base that's about ready for that, and it's great timing, like you say, for the club going into a new building.
Yeah. The other thing, too, guys, is that the thing we need to keep in mind about Mike Babcock, I mean, it seems maybe the rest of the hockey world odd that he would have ever considered Edmonton, but don't forget, this is a Saskatoon guy. I mean, this is a Saskatchewan boy, and he's been gone for a long time, right? Since, I mean, the closest he's been to home outside of summers is coaching at the University of Lethbridge, or, you know, when he was in Moose Jaw even. But, I mean, he spent his years in Spokane, Cincinnati, Anaheim, Detroit now for all these years. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been to a couple of finals. He's kind of been there, done that. Now, the other thing Edmonton is going to be able to do is Edmonton's going to be able to pay him. I mean, flat out, Darryl Cates will be able to basically give him whatever he wants. He's got the financial resources to do that. And Mike Babcock is going to want to push the envelope of what coaches around the league make. He's going to want to rise that tide a little bit, and all ships will raise with it. So it's not that pie in the sky. He's a Western Canadian guy that's been gone a long time. And I believe the same of McLellan. Why there's potential for the Oilers to get him as well. Same thing. Sometimes it's nice for these guys to come home after they've chased it for a decade and a half.
Yeah, and he'd still be chasing it for sure, but the money, and that's what I wrote, the money. And I honestly believe, Ryan, there's a lot of other things at play. Babcock, when I spoke to him a year and a half ago after having a conversation with Ken Hitchcock, just about, you know, the coaching fraternity and guys getting paid, and you know how eventually one coach is going to have to test free agency. Right. And at the time, I didn't think it was Babcock because I didn't even know about it, but he was the big name coach, and he looked at me and said, "You're right." And he said, "It's tough, but someone's going to have to do it." And this would kind of be that, for a guy like for Babcock. And, you know, Detroit, whether they have to grant permit, well, they obviously have to grant permission because technically he's under contract until June 30th, right? Mm-hmm. Do they grant permission to multiple teams and see what they can get? Like, I don't know the rule. Now with the new compensation for coaches, which is a third rounder, are you allowed, and I don't know this, I have to look it up, and I couldn't find an answer, could they do what teams do with pending UFAs and say, hey, we're going to trade you the rights to Mike Babcock, you negotiate the contract like, you know, we've seen it with Timonen and Hartnell and other players. Oilers did it with Nikita and Keaton, right? Where Detroit then would get better. Maybe they could demand a second-round pick if you want to talk to Mike mm-hmm. Babcock before June 30th.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's allowed. I don't know.
Why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, it might be. I mean, it very well might be. But I think the Oilers are in a little bit of a position of strength here, too. I mean, Mike Babcock is going to want to see what Edmonton has to offer. They've got an owner with really deep pockets and a bright future. He's going to want to see what the Oilers have to offer. I don't imagine that, regardless of when they're able to talk to him, I think the conversation is going to happen. I mean, now if somebody else beats them to the punch and they never get a chance at him, well, you know, that would be unfortunate. But they'll figure out a way to have the conversation that they need to have, and I'm not sure if it'll involve compensation or not.
So you're saying that they'll tamper?
No. What I'm saying is whether it's getting permission from Detroit, whether it's, like you say, potentially looking at compensation. So should they end up signing him and bringing him on, then under those circumstances, a third round pick or a fourth round pick or whatever gets, I'm just saying that I think the likelihood that Mike Babcock ends up with another job somewhere else without the opportunity to have ever spoken to the Edmonton Oilers, I don't think either side will let that happen.
Yeah. You know, one aspect of this, I want to pick your brain about it, Ryan. You know, a guy like Babcock is used to having input. The assumption, wherever he ends up, he's going to have a say. He had a say with Ken Holland. Ken Holland's an experienced guy.
Yeah.
When I look at Pete Chiarelli, I don't see that as a problem. Smart guys like Pete Chiarelli want other smart guys around them. They're not looking for an underling.
No, and Shirley won't be intimidated by the breadth of Mike Babcock's presence, right? Like, Mike Babcock's a big presence, and he's a well-respected man, hockey man, and he's a presence, no question about it. But that's not going to intimidate Peter Shirley, right? I mean, he's a Stanley Cup champion. He's built the Stanley Cup championship team as well. He was part of the Olympic team. Like, he's been in those circles. He's respected in those circles. So while Mike Babcock, you know, maybe can call his own shot a little bit in terms of wanting to have a hand in some personnel or wanting to be heard. You know, at the end of the day, he's going to be brought here to be the coach. He would be wherever he goes. He'll be brought in because he's one of the most exceptional coaches in the world, and he'll be listened to and his opinion will be respected, but Shirelli will have no problem at all with Mike Babcock wanting that. Whereas maybe other general managers who are a little less sure of themselves or a little less experienced, maybe that might be too big a personality behind the bench and sitting in the chair in their office for them to feel comfortable. Shirelli's not going to be intimidated by that 1 ounce.
Well, Shogar, this could be the ultimate offseason for the Oilers if they land Babcock. And even if they don't land Mike Babcock, Todd McClellan could be a pretty good second option.
Let me ask you this. Sorry to interrupt you, Jason. Let me ask you this. So, kind of not the impossible, but the very unlikely has happened in that, you know, Peter Chiarelli, well-respected general manager, signs on. Then shortly after, we're getting word that, you know, potentially Mike Babcock could be coming to Edmonton. There's a reasonable chance that could happen. Very unlikely propositions 3 weeks ago. So let me ask you this, just for fun. The Connor McDavid impact, I wonder how unrestricted free agents would look at Edmonton as an option now and if maybe that changes. And I just can't help but wonder if there's any unrestricted goaltenders out there who maybe have a history with the organization who would look at that general manager, look at that coach, look at Connor McDavid and think, you know what, that might actually not be a bad place to be because it's close to home, he knows what it's about, and it's on the upswing. I can't help but wonder if Devan Dubnyk would give it another thought with the way this whole thing is headed.
Yeah, I'd be surprised after talking to Dubnyk at Minnesota.
Well, a lot has changed since then.
Yeah, but well, not his situation in Minnesota. Zach Parise letting him in, you know, those guys welcoming him in with open arms and allowing him to bring his career back on track. I think he has way more reasons to be loyal to them than he does going back to Edmonton.
Now, let's be clear, though. There were never any issues with Devin in that dressing room.
I never said that.
Devin had great relations with those players on that team. The players on that team loved Devin. There were never any issues in the dressing room for Devin Dubnyk. It was strictly performance-based, and it was strictly, you know, he needed to get himself sorted out. So I think it's unlikely, but what I'm saying, guys, we started this conversation with what the impact of Connor McDavid means to this franchise and this organization, how it's a game changer. I just can't help but wonder if the Calgary boy, who I know enjoyed playing at Edmonton, sees the opportunity to get another crack at it, make it right, do it the right way.
Yeah, it's crossed my mind too, Ryan. I'd say this, and it's not because he's prideful or a jerk, but, you know, Devin had one bad stretch here. They moved him out. That's hockey. That's okay. Until we have a definitive word on what Craig McTavish has to say about front office duties and how things operate, even if Peter Chiarelli's the boss, this is the guy who said, if you've got to ask the question. That hurt a lot.
Oh, for sure. But you know what? He's not the guy that puts his name on the contract anymore.
I know.
Peter Chiarelli, all it takes is one conversation with Peter Chiarelli where he says, look, Devin, I don't know what happened here in the past. I wasn't here for the whole thing. All I can tell you is I've watched you. I see your numbers. I believe in you. I could care less what anybody else tells me. I think you're the right guy for the organization. Here's $500,000 more than your best offer per year, and you're working for me now. I mean, a lot can be mended with new people in place. So I agree with Jason. I think it's unlikely, but I don't think we can underestimate what getting this player and the 180 that this organization has taken in the last month, what effect that could potentially have on everything.
I'd say Jeff Petrie more likely to return than Devin Dubnyk. If I had to weigh the two, I would weigh him more. Now, neither one I'm going to give a high percentage, but if I had to, I'd weigh Petrie more.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think Petrie, yeah, the issue with Petrie, I think, is more just about the way his game is in this fan base. And you know, there's a subtlety to Jeff Petrie's game that I don't think was all that appreciated, because there were some deficiencies in his game that drove people nuts, myself included. I don't know that Petrie would look to wade back into it. He doesn't have the draw of it being home for him, whereas Devin is an Alberta boy. And I can't help it. And he's a family man. And I just can't help but wonder if there'd be a little tug back in this direction.
It's if you're spitballing, that's not a bad spitball, Shogger. It's it's worth thinking about.
We'll have to wait and see.
Anything's possible.
Well right now, there's some hockey left to be played.
We know this now, and how it's changed in 3 weeks. Anything is possible.
Yep, for sure, boys.
Shogger, have a good one.
You too, guys.